You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 6, is what I'm going to be using. But my subject tonight, principles of answered prayer. I'm going to talk about faith. This will be part one. I did 16 hindrances to answered prayer, and I want to talk about some principles that will cause your prayers to be answered, because the world of prayer is so important to us. Prayer is not just something you talk about. A lot of people talk about it. A lot of people just think about it. But prayer is something you must do. We enter into our Christian experience through the world of prayer as we humble ourselves before God and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Look at John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So it is through the world of prayer that we come into relationship with God. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. But then we have to go through the blood and through the name of Jesus to get into divine relationship. There are a lot of people trying to go many other ways, but there's only one way. And thank God we have access to the throne of grace, and we're invited by our Heavenly Father to come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in our time of need. How many got a need? I know I do. Hallelujah. I praise God for what he's done for me, but we're in a battle, and the battle, it rages. It continues to rage. Every victory you get, get ready for the next battle. We're in a warfare. We're not wrestling flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And it's the devil himself and his demon spirits that are trying to keep us from obtaining all the promises of God that belong to us. So it's through the world of prayer that we learn about God. It's through the world of prayer that we determine God's will in our lives. And there are principles and there are rules and there are laws that regulate the world of prayer. And I want to talk about faith tonight because this is the most important principle, faith, when it comes to getting something from God. But you've got to have faith in your heart and you got to confess it with your mouth. And how can you have faith in your heart if you're living in sin? You can't. Because the Bible says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And he said, whatsoever we ask of him, that's a big endorsement. What is your need? Whatsoever we ask of him, we receive it because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the realm of faith. Thank you for this world, oh God, that, Lord, when we come into contact with this natural world through the five senses, but we come into contact with the spirit realm through the world of faith, and we want you to know we're feeding our faith, we're starving our doubts to death, and we pray that doubt and unbelief will die at the name of Jesus and at the entrance of your word. At the entrance of your word, there is light. Thank you for the anointing to teach and preach the unsearchable riches of God. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if a person's going to pray and get answered prayer, there are certain guidelines we must follow. If you want to live a life of victory, you must think victory. You must believe in victory. You must confess victory. Hallelujah. And if you can do that and believe God, victory will come. We are who God said we are. That's why I love that confession of faith. We can do what God said we can do. And we can do all things through Christ. And it's the devil that tells us you don't have enough faith for that. Well, faith comes by hearing the word of God. We know that. So I'm going to use a lot of scripture tonight, and I just want to lay some foundation. I want to let the word of God speak for itself, because there are principles and there are rules that regulate this world we call prayer. Look at Romans 8:2. I love this. When I discovered this law right here, it changed my life forever. For the law, Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That is a law of sin and death. If you sin, sin will kill you. But there's a law called the Spirit of life in Christ, and we're in Christ, and Christ is in us. We have union with Christ. Look at verse 3. For what the law, that law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. How many of us still got flesh? I do. The law was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son, and look at this, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, if you really get to studying this, you'll see that sin in the flesh is sickness and disease. It came with the fall of man. We were not created to be sick. We were created to be in God's image. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. And he said, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Well, you got a spirit, you got a soul, and you got a body. But sin in the flesh, if you look at it, if you ever get a revelation, it is the manifestation of sickness. And if you get sick enough, I promise you something, you'll die. We're all going to die, but while I'm here, I want life and I want it more abundant. Amen? Look at verse 4. See, he condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law was righteous, but nobody could keep it. That's why we have to move into this realm called faith. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if there's something inside of you, and we all have flesh, and we're all going to be tempted, it's just common to man, but there should be something in you that urges you, that pushes you, that calls you into the realm of the Spirit. If that has not happened to you, you need to get your flesh sanctified. I have to do it. I have to die to that flesh. But I know one thing. I am not the man I used to be. Something happened inside of me. I don't want to sin. I don't have a sin nature. I have the propensity to sin. You have the propensity to sin. But we have God's divine nature. We have God in us. We have Christ in us. We have the Holy Ghost in us. We have been made free from sin. Hallelujah. And we have become servants of God and servants of righteousness. Go on, praise God for his righteousness. Hallelujah. You see, the great theme of the New Testament is justification by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You've got to know and believe in the complete work of the cross, because that is a devil, and he will fight you tooth and nail for everything you have obtained from God. I told you about my daughter, how she's unhappy at her job, and she's having some problems. And the good part of that testimony was they came after she hired, after we prayed, she got to hire somebody. And guess what? The next day after that, the inspector from the state showed up, and if she had not had that inspector, had not hired that person, then guess what? They would have failed, but they passed with flying colors. She texts me today. I haven't had a chance to talk to her. I want to get along with her, and I want to pray with her over that telephone. She said, Daddy, guess what? A position has opened that I'm well qualified for, and I want you to pray about that. See, that's the law I'm talking about, the law of faith. And I'm going to pray that God's will be done. If this is not the position God has for my seed, I promise you one thing. He's got something a whole lot better. Hallelujah. And that's what you got to know, and that's where you got to live in this realm of faith. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore being justified, see, it's all justification by faith. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, our Lord. Paul said, if the law could have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law, by those rules and by those regulations. But they could not give life. The law could not bring life because the law brought the knowledge of sin. And where sin entered in, death reigns. Sin brings death. God's grace brings righteousness and light. And it's just that simple. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at this as Paul begins to unfold and to reveal this law of faith that is working in us, because this is powerful. Look at Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture, not Jerry Nelson, not the pastor, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, look at this, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should come afterwards and be revealed. In other words, we were shut up and we were bound by the law. We needed a Savior. We needed some blood to redeem us. Thank you for that song. Hallelujah. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. It was our teacher to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, look at this. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under the law after faith has come. For we are all children of God, look at this, by faith in Christ Jesus. I just read five verses of Scripture. Every one of those Scriptures there, they have the word faith in them. Every one of those. So we see that salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the keeping of the law. Now, a lot of Christians, they find themselves back under the law and they do not have the faith they should have. Why is this subject matter so important? Why am I going over all these Scriptures? Because too many Christians, they find themselves under condemnation and thinking, I'm not good enough. It has nothing to do with how good you are. You live the best you can and look to the cross. Look to the work of Jesus Christ. And don't be bringing condemnation on others. You don't know their struggle till you walk in their shoes. Help people as much as you can. But when you find out they're going to do it their way, praise God, that's a way that seems right unto man. The end of that's destruction. You just have to sort of cut them off and be there to help them when you can. But work with people. My mother told me, she said, son, you're going to see people come. I didn't have any idea at that time I would be a pastor. You're going to see people come into the church and go out. I was preaching as a lay preacher, and I was having a ball. You know, I didn't have any of the problems that go with the church and the people there. All I do is go show up and preach and watch God work. But she told me this. She said, son, there will be people that come into the church, and you will see them come, and you will see them go. You will see them come, son, and you will see them go. She said, work with those people. Always be kind to them. Always reach out to help them. She said, and son, if when they die, because they're going to come and go, if they're in, guess what? You'll have a star in your crayon. My mother was a wise woman. We need to work with people. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But, you know, we'll break this subject down. Look at Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 20, but now the righteousness of God, I love this, without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, Paul was having this problem with these churches, the church here in Rome and the church at Galatia. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Receive you the Spirit by the hearing of the law or by the keeping of faith? It's all by faith. Look at verse 22. But even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all them and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. There's no difference between the Jew, the Gentiles, the blacks, the whites, the reds, the yellows. Anybody, whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. Because what that law could not do, God sent his son, condemned sin in the flesh, and opened up the avenue of grace. And by grace we're saved through faith. I love that testimony. By grace, hallelujah, he saved me. See, the Jewish people, they boasted because of the law. They thought that the law and the keeping of the law gave them access to the grace of God. And there are a lot of people that end up in the church like that. Now, I believe in living holy. I'm not condoning sin, okay? See, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified, not by the law, but by faith in the blood of Jesus. Now look at Romans 3:27. Here it is. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Where is, I cannot boast, you cannot boast, It was the grace of God that saved us. His mercy, His goodness. None of us went looking for God. He come looking for us. He said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. He said, I've ordained you. I've called you. I love you and I want you to come to me. And I want you to walk in victory. I want you to have what my son paid for, life, and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. So, see, the law of faith, look at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, that does not mean that because of God's grace, we can live in sin. It means because of God's grace, we have been freed from sin. We've been freed from the dominion of sin. I'm going to look at Romans chapter 6 here because this is the great sanctification chapter in the Bible. See, once you get saved, you need to go on and into the deeper works of the Spirit. Because if I can get this flesh of mine under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ and not under the law that was contrary to my salvation, then I can obtain great things from God, and so can you. Look at this. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, that should be a transformation that takes place where you are dead to sin. You should have a desire to know Him, to be sanctified, pure, and holy. I got saved, and let me tell you something. I had problems. I mean, I just said, God, I got a lot of problems, and I can't con you. I knew that. I know there's no way you can fool a God that knows the thought and the intent of your heart. You can act holy and sanctified and look down your sanctimonious nose at others all you want to, but I'm going to tell you, all of us got flesh, and everybody's going to have to wrestle with something. And it takes renewing your mind with the Word of God. It takes prayer. It takes wanting to live a holy life because we have been freed from sin. I love this. Let's watch this unfold. See, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live there any longer? Now, look at verse 6. See, this is the great sanctification verse right here. I love this. I had a friend, and he's struggling and struggling. I said, I'm going to give you something. I said, if you can see this, you'll never have this struggle. Brought up in the church and tried it. But I said, you're trying to do it. What you got to know, it's done. It's been done. You've got to embrace what Jesus Christ has done. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, you got to know this. Knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him. Why, Paul? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Look at the next verse. For he that is dead is free from sin. So we have been freed from the law by the law of sin and death, by the law of faith. Hallelujah. Now, he says, you got to know this. And then after you know it, you got to reckon what Jesus did on the cross. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then if you would go to Romans 6:13, it says, neither yield yourself as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's all about His righteousness being imparted and imputed to you and to me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he says in Romans 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin with our sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. That should free us from the law of sin and death. We have a right standing with God, which means we can go boldly to the throne of grace, that we have access into His mercy, into His grace, into His compassion, into His miracle-working power through the blood of Jesus, and through the name. Go on, praise him for that name. There is no name like it. God has highly exalted that name, and at the name of Jesus, every demon in hell must bow, every sickness and every disease, it must bow to the name of Jesus. And we have been given the authority to use that name. So we've been freed from the law of sin and death by the law of faith. And even though we are free from the law of sin and death, if we're not careful, we will allow the enemy to rob us of many of our blessings. It's called the good fight of faith. And if you are not willing to fight, the devil will trample all over you. You have got to fight. You're fighting an invisible enemy. But that's all right. He's there. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're supernatural. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of his strongholds, casting down his imaginations, his high thoughts, and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I am who God said I am. You are who God said you are. You have what God said you have. And we can obtain it how? On the line of the law of faith and the law of the Spirit of life. Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this. I just want to walk through this right here, this law of faith. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, where is the boasting then? See, the Jews wanted to boast. We're the seed of Abraham. They thought that was going to take care of it. Abraham was justified by faith. How were we justified? Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how. We are the seed of Abraham. Why? Because if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It all fits together. It's a beautiful picture. And Paul received this revelation about faith. And faith has so many facets to it, it's impossible for us to ever define it in one sermon. It's just beautiful. It's like a diamond. It just shines and shines and shines. And you put it in the light here and it shines this way. And the light hits it that way and it sparkles in another direction. It's just a wonderful realm, the realm of faith. And all things, not some things, all things are possible to him that believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's important you understand that. I met a gentleman, Josh Howell, a few years ago, and he told me this story. He said, I will never forget you, Brother Nelson. I said, really? Why is that? He said, when I was a small boy, I went to church where you did. I wasn't the pastor. He said, and I had a skin rash, and you prayed for me, and God healed me. He said, I'll never forget you. I've forgotten all about that, but it meant so much to him. He's not a little boy anymore. He's a grown man now. But he remembered that because that was a turning point in his life, because God manifests his glory in his body. Now, what was it that brought that healing? The doctors could not heal him. They had tried everything. He'd gone to specialist after specialist, and he came in that line, and his mother said, Brother Nelson, will you pray for my son? And I prayed for that little boy. What was it? See, the doctors couldn't heal him. Jesus healed him. Why and how did it happen? It happened because of this law of faith. If you can understand that the same faith, the manifestation of it that saved you, a manifestation of that is the same faith that brings your healing. They're all closely connected. Jesus came to deliver people from the law of sin and death. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. We were all born under a curse. I did a whole series on that. I was on vacation when I put that thing together. I had a ball doing it, hallelujah. You know, I just studied and studied and studied and read and packed, took notes and wrote them down. And then when I got home, I didn't get all the stuff put together. I just worked on it. and let the Holy Ghost speak to me and talk to me. And see, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. And in his action and in his teaching and his works of salvation, healing and salvation are always found together. I want you to put two scriptures up. I'll use this one first. Matthew 9:35, if you would. I want you to see what Jesus did. Matthew 9:35. I had a sermon that I worked on, and I might go back and put it all together, but I destroyed my notes doing another sermon out of it. Word is good. I should have saved that before I went on and did the other sermon. But look at Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of his kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's Matthew 9:35. Now, I memorized that years ago, that Jesus, he taught, he preached, and he healed. Because he said, the works I do shall you do also. And when I saw that, I said, that's what I'm supposed to do. If I'm going to preach, if I'm going to teach, that's what I'm supposed to do. Teach, preach, and heal. That's what every preacher is supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do, too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at Matthew 4:23, because I was reading my Bible one day, and I don't know how I missed this. I'd memorized that one, but I had never memorized Matthew 4:23. Look at this. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogue. Uh-oh, look. Preaching in the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, I went back and got to looking at this. I said, that's Matthew 9:35. I must have something wrong in my Bible. And I went back and I looked at Matthew 9:35. I said, no, that's Matthew 4:23. And it says the same thing almost verbatim that Matthew 9:35 says. Jesus had just chosen some of his disciples here. And Jesus didn't just teach, and Jesus didn't just preach. Jesus demonstrated, and he showed them how to do what he was doing. And if you'll go back and read your Bible and read it with this mindset, I promise you, you'll see it. Like I said, I had a sermon that I just obliterated it going in another direction. I should have saved those notes. But when he gets to Matthew chapter 9, he has chosen the last of his disciples. And then, when he does that, he teaches, he preaches, and he heals. He wanted all of those disciples to get that same object lesson of what he was doing. It's recorded twice in the Gospel of Matthew. Hallelujah. Let's just look at Matthew 10:1. Just see what it says the next verse, or next chapter. He called unto him 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He's teaching. That's what I'm doing tonight. I get excited and start preaching, but I'm really teaching. I heard one great Bible teacher. He got really carried away. He was a great, great man of God, Dr. Vorse. And in one of his services one night, he was a Church of God preacher. At the end of it, he said, in case you're wondering what, they called me to come to teach tonight. In case you're wondering what that was teaching. He was preaching up a storm, I tell you. But it's sort of hard to separate the two of them, you know. But Jesus taught, he preached, and he healed. What is the difference? Well, in teaching, you explain, and in preaching, you proclaim. There's a whole different anointing. I had a friend of mine. He said, I want you to listen to these tapes. Back then, they had tapes, and it was a Baptist preacher. They called him the Prince of Preachers. He was at Jerry Falwell's preaching. He handed me those tapes, and I listened to that man. And when I listened, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Because I've been asking him, I said, how do I get this thing out of me? He said, I want you to listen to his action verbs. And he used action verb after action verb after action verb. Well, teaching explains. It uses adjectives and adverbs. But preaching proclaims and it uses action verbs. Boom, boom. And I didn't get that in the Bible school. I got that from the Holy Ghost. Because I had some locked up inside of me that I couldn't get out. And I was asking the Lord, and he showed me. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the great healer. He came to deliver people. Salvation and healing both come on the line of a living faith. Never forget this. There's a law called the law of faith. And if you can believe, you can see the glory of God. Now, I have the same problem you do at times, but I just have to take the Word of God and feed my spirit, man, the Word of God, over and over and over. Teresa and I have a lot of discussions about it. She said, why are you telling me that? I already know that. I said, because faith comes by hearing. I said, and then sometimes I say, if you know that, I want you to tell me all of these laws. And she'll do about two or three of them. I said, that's why you need to hear it again. Hallelujah. Because I need to hear it again. Because I've got to stir up the gifts that are within you. That's Bible. And you've got to hear it. And I've got to hear it. And we've got to go over it and over and over. The Bible says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, we should never forget any of God's benefits. We should always cry out, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my sin, who heals all my disease. Beautiful testimony. Wonderful to be saved, isn't it? But aren't you looking for that complete healing? I am. I'm looking for myself. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for signs and wonders and miracles because of this thing called faith. See, faith is possible only for those who live in the spirit realm. Let me say that again. Faith is possible only for those who live in the spirit realm. The natural man, the natural mind, the carnal man, it is contrary to God. And you cannot understand the things of God, so you'll have to determine to live in the faith realm, because your mind in the five senses will deceive you. And the more we allow ourselves to experience sanctification, that means separation unto God, sanctification by faith, the more we will experience the manifestation of God by faith. The closer I get into being separated and my mind renewed by the Word of God, the more my faith will operate, the closer I will get to God, and the more I will operate in the realm of the Spirit of God. And that works for all of us. See, the two doctrines work together. The more of the Spirit of God lives and acts in the soul of the believer, the more we will experience by faith in God. The more that we experience the saving, the healing, the miracle-working power of God, the more the world will recognize what true redemption means, that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, period. Hallelujah. But we're in a battle. How many of you, when you came to the Lord, you had financial problems and you don't have any today? Look at that. That's right. Your needs are all met. That's because you don't go to the clubs anymore. You don't drink liquor. You don't run with the women and the men and the party crowd. You pay your tithe and you're into God's seed time, harvest time. And you're not ignorant. And you wonder how in the world I ever, why in the world did I ever do that? How could I ever been so stupid? It's because we were all born in sin and conceived in iniquity. And that was a law of sin and death working in us. But there's a law of life that's working now. Hallelujah. Go and praise God for the law of the Spirit of life. Faith. Faith can do some amazing things. Here's a law that regulates faith right here. Look at this one. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you would, Brother Boo, pull up Hebrews 11:5. I preached on him. Enoch, you can walk with God. I preached a sermon on that recently. See, right here, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the faith of Enoch. Enoch lived in a time when the whole world was corrupt and Adam had messed up and the flood was about to come. He said, keep your eyes on that boy Methuselah. At his death, it shall come. What shall come? Judgment. That's what his name meant. But that was a man named Enoch, and he walked with God. And look at this. I love this. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch, Methuselah's the oldest man that ever lived, yet he died before his daddy died. His father's name was Enoch, and his father didn't die. Try that one on, okay? Okay. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Look at this. Because God had translated. He got raptured. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, you might have missed this when I preached it. Now, put Hebrews 11:6. Now, I said, in a corrupt world, there was a man named Enoch that diligently sought God. Adam said, I used to walk with God. But nobody can walk with God anymore. But he heard about him in the garden and how God would come down. He heard his testimony. And so now he decides he's going to walk with God. And look at this. By faith, he was translated. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is reward of them. Here it is right here. That diligently seek him. If you have a real problem, diligently, 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 with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, fast and pray. Quote scripture after scripture. Bind the devil. Plead the blood. Praise God before the victory ever come. Use every weapon you can whip out. I learned this stuff not in a book. I learned this stuff on my knees. I learned this stuff in the battles of life. Hallelujah. I got saved and I said, something's transpired inside of me. I'm not going to let the devil run rock shot over me. Hallelujah. I'm a United States Marine and I know how to fight. I was taught how to fight. And when I got saved, God spoke to me. I said, God, I'm in a mess. He said, I want you to take what you learned in combat, and I want you to take it, and I want you to use it in spiritual warfare. And I started looking for rules and laws and principles that operate the world of faith. And I discovered a lot of things. Got a lot of good teaching from a lot of good people. I thank God for every one of them. But I whipped out Dr. Lester Sumrall's book today. And the things, I loved him. He was a great teacher, great man of God. And I owe him tremendously. I do. And I'm going to tell him when I get to heaven, I'm going to hug his neck and say, Dr. Sumrall, I love you so much. Thank you for teaching me all the things you taught me. But I took it to another level, doctor. Because he would teach like this. He would say, I'm going to give you something. He said, this is not all of it. I can't give you all of it. He said, I'm going to give you what you can take right now. He said, you discover the rest of it on your own. And I began to study this realm called faith. So Hebrews 11:6 says it takes faith to please God. See, if you can get your mind transformed by the word of God, you can obtain the promises of God by faith. It's always according to your faith. Now, people are coming in, but let me say this. It is always according to your faith. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, I love them. They're real, and God will help you if you're using your faith. Sometimes if you're just a babe in Christ, he'll send somebody along to help you. But I went through a tremendous struggle. I said, God, you got people you could send just to lay their hands on me and operate the gifts of the Spirit, and I'd be healed. I said, why am I going through this thing like this? God, please send somebody to help me. And he did. He had a lot of people pray for me, and I appreciate every one of their prayers, but you know what I had to do? I had to use my faith. And I look back on some of the miracles I've seen God do, and I wonder, where did it happen? What was the place that it transpired? And many of them, I was calling things that be not as though they were. I was saying it was so. Here's my definition of faith. Faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so. Because God said it so. That's all I need. Faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. And if you can believe God and just take him at his word, you will get great things from God by faith. In the world of faith, you must accept the word of God as absolute, or you cannot live in that realm. You cannot live there. Pastor Rick, if you would come to the piano. When Moses stood at the Red Sea and lifted up that rod, and he commanded that sea to part, it had to obey him. God spoke to Moses and told him, lift up the rod and part the sea. And when Moses gave that command of faith, that sea had no choice. It had to part. Can't you see him? Old man, white hair, long, walking out toward that sea. And the breeze is blowing in his face. And all those people standing back there. And Moses got the rod of God in his hand. That same rod he threw down and it turned into a serpent. He picked it up and it turned back into a stick. That same rod that he had used, the rod of God, the word of God. See, he had a word from God. What good will a rod do? Depends on whose hand it's in. Hallelujah. What good will a rock and a rag do to drop your giant? Depends on whose hand it's in. What good will the word of God do? Depends on whose hand it's in and whose heart is hidden in. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Can you see Moses walking out? Look at that old fool. Look at him. He's lost his mind. He's senile. Look at him. Old gray-headed nut walking out there like this. He told God, he said, you part the sea. God said, what you got in your hand? See, we expecting God to do something. God said, what you got? What you going to use? Are you going to use what I've already given you? He walking out there. Look at that nut. I command that sea to part. I command it. All of a sudden, Moses and his rod, and God and the Ra of God, the breath of God. Hallelujah. That sea just rolled back at the command of faith. And he and his army went through on dry ground. And let me give you this, and I'm going to stop. He got to the other side of it. They broke out the tambourines and started dancing and praising God and singing the song. And that sea came back in on the enemy. I want you to hear this. God told Moses, he said, you will never face that enemy again. How important is your victory? It's important to you. And it's important to others. Because once you get it, you'll have power over it. But you'll never face that enemy again. You'll cast it out and set the captive free. Let us stand. Love you. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah.
How great Glory. Is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God.
Woo! Excuse me while the Lord and I take a praise break. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Woo.
How great is our God.
Sing with me. How great is our God.
Oh, sing.
How great.
How great is our God.
Bless him, may be whole. Glory. Hallelujah.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great.
Lord, I preach the word.
And all will see how great. How great is our God.
Glory, glory, glory.
Woo! How great is our God. Sing with me, how great.
Hallelujah. Brother Larry.
All will see.
Brother Ray. I want you to come up and stand in proxy if you will permit me to anoint you with his oil for Larry Pierce. They found a spot on his lung. Y'all keep on singing. Y'all want to come lay your hands on his shoulders. The name of Jesus, Father. We lift Larry Pierce up. We curse that growth on his lung. Lord, he had a new kidney put in. You brought him through that. He had cancer on his arm. You brought him through that. He had a tract infection. You brought him through that. And Lord, now cancer's tried to show up in his lung. We curse it. As I lay my hand upon my brother, I release the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, glory.
Woo. Glory. Worthy of our
hallelujah.
Praise. My heart
glory.
Will sing how great is our God.